What is up, Active Church? How you guys doing? Well, good morning. You guys look good. You look good this morning. How good was worship? You guys enjoy that? Yeah. We one of our values at Active Church is pursue excellence, and excellence is not perfection. How many of you guys know being perfect is or trying to be perfect is exhausting? Amen. But what we do here is we say excellence is doing the very best with what you have. In an Active Church, we practice, we serve, we do the very best in every area, and our worship team believes that that excellence is a important part of what we do. So they practice, they get together. As a matter of fact, yesterday at we had a thing called Infuse, and what it is twice a year we get together with our worship team, and we pray, and then we really seek the heart of God together as a team, and it was so powerful. We crammed about 30 people into this little tiny office. We set up some worship. We had, you know, drums or cajon. We had all these instruments, and we worshiped God, and we spent about 6 hours going through kind of our church values and our culture and what kind of team we want to be and really how we can best serve our city through worship, through the worshiping through music. And so I just want you to know, we don't just get up here every week and just try to figure it out. We've been praying for you, because I know that your life is busy. And you have a lot of stuff going on, don't you? But you chose to get up this morning. I'm so proud of you, because you're here at church. So give yourself a round of applause. And you could be anywhere else, but you chose to get up. For some of you, you had to get your kids out of bed. They didn't want to get up. They didn't want to put on their clothes. They didn't want to brush their teeth, but you got them out the door. Maybe they brushed their teeth. If they didn't brush their teeth, it's okay. God forgives you. And you got them to Active Kids, and now you're able to just enjoy yourself and have a cup of coffee. And for others, maybe you're not in that season, and life was pretty slow this morning. Maybe you had some time to really think about what God was doing in your life. And for others, maybe you're here for the first time. We have a lot of first-time guests every single week. And you thought, you know, maybe I'll give this church a shot. Maybe I'll give God one more shot. And I just want to speak to those of you here today that are in a place of maybe God can help. Maybe God can help me in my situation. And I want to tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, I've seen God work in my life. I wouldn't be up here with this microphone that's annoying me right now. I wouldn't be up here talking about Jesus if he hadn't changed something in my life. And I know for many of you here today, God has healed you. He's restored you. He's given you peace in places where you didn't have peace before. He's given you victory over some addictions, over some things that you had going on in your life. And God has rescued you. And so this morning, we don't worship a God that is stuck in the pages of Scripture. We worship a God that is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And his name is Jesus. And he changes lives. Amen? So we're going to go ahead and jump into our time together today. I promise you, I'm going to try to sit down. So that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to sit down. You think I can sit the whole time? Look around you real quick. Look to your neighbor and say, good morning. Look to the other neighbor, your second choice, and say, hey, you too, good morning. We've been in a series now for the last few weeks. Last week was Mother's Day, and so impressed with the women that spoke at our church last week. It was incredible. We did 5 and 5, and yeah, can we give it up? We had an amazing day full of just celebrating moms everywhere, and then also we heard from 5 different communicators that just absolutely spoke such powerful words over our church. And I really think that a lot of times we see people and we think, okay, we have people, you know, the pastor, he's got a gift or whatever, and I think God's called me to teach the word and all that stuff, and I feel gifted. I've worked at this thing called preaching and teaching. I've tried to get better for you guys, because you don't want to listen to, if I don't, you wouldn't be here. You're like, 35 minutes is a long time, guys. But I think what I've realized over the last few years is, like, it's not about the gifting. It's about God's anointing. And anointing is different than your gifts. Your gifts are the things that you didn't earn your gifts. God just gives them to you. You're all hardwired with a gift. You know that? But the anointing comes from time in the presence of God. And you can't manufacture that. You can't manufacture anointing. It has to come from time in the Word, time praying. And if you haven't been close to God this week, I want to encourage you. You need an anointing over your life to battle some of the things that you're facing right now. Amen. It's not about just getting into quiet time so you can say, okay, I checked the box. You need to spend time with your Father so that He can remind you of all the things He's got planned for your life. So He can remind you of the battles that are ahead, but also the victories that are behind you. And He could show you that, hey, I'm with you even in this season. So excited. Last week was amazing. We're jumping back into our series called Armored. We're talking about the full armor of God this morning. I want to read to you out of a verse out of Ephesians. And this is Paul. He's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking about this idea of the full armor of God and what that looks like. And he's giving people this spiritual kind of, or a physical representation, an illustration, if you will, of really what it means to be in a battle, a spiritual battle. You're in a spiritual battle, whether you realize it or not. It's part of the way that this world operates, that there's things that are happening that we can't really see, touch, or feel, but you know it when you experience it, don't you? It's that call that you get, and you're like, that was out of nowhere. Or you wake up, and you're like, man, I'm just in a funk. Maybe, just maybe, there's some things that are trying to disrupt your life. So let me read this to you. Ephesians 5, 13 through 15. Therefore, everyone say, therefore. Put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Verse 14, stand your ground. Everyone say, stand. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. You got some shoes that you got to put on today, and God wants to give you peace. It comes from the gospel of peace. And I want to tell you something today that you may know. The enemy is after your peace. Because when you have peace, you're dangerous. When you have purpose, you're dangerous to the enemy. When you begin to wake up every single day with purpose, passion, and peace in your heart, knowing that you have a right relationship with God, all of a sudden, now you're on the offense. You're making an impact in your life. You're making an impact in other people's life. And so what the enemy's trying to do to you, and me as well, is to disrupt the peace in our life so that we no longer focus on people around us and serving others. He wants us to get so distracted with our own stuff that we focus inwardly. And as I'm going to show you today, and I believe this message is going to help you, but I need your help today. I need you to talk back to me, 9:30. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a come on, somebody?
Can
I get a, that's good, Pastor.
If you get real
fancy, you can wave your connection card at me, and you can say, take your time, Pastor, take your time, say it again. I need your help today. You got to help me preach this, help me teach this. Can we do a little exercise real quick this morning? Not like physical, but like, okay, close your eyes, close your eyes. You too, sir, close your eyes. No peeking. All right, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to do this. I want you to imagine in your mind right now the thing that is the greatest source of stress in your life. Picture it. You got it? Keep your eyes closed. Imagine that thing in your mind's eye. All right, go ahead and open your eyes. All right, here's what I know about that thing. It was either you were thinking of a pace, like a pace of life, a place, a problem, or a person. Am I right? It's probably a person. And the reason I didn't say, tell me what your, you know, greatest source of stress is, because I didn't want you to point at your neighbor, the person sitting next to you. Guys act really confused right now. there's an enemy that wants to steal your joy, and he's going to find ways to get you stressed out and distracted. Because here's the reality that so many of us face is that our stresses are robbing us of peace. And I pray that today's message will help you identify some things that are going on in your life so you can get rid of those things and truly embrace the gospel of peace in your life. And if you're not a Christian here and you're just kicking the tires on church, or someone told you they buy you lunch, you're like, dude, I'll be there when and where, right? I'm just going to encourage you to lean in. Take off your, the skeptical glasses for a moment. Maybe lower your guard and just allow God to minister to you this morning. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for this time. I pray that you'd speak to us now. Give us a fresh rhema, Lord, a fresh word from you so that we might be able to go back into the rest of our week and live with more peace than we've ever had. Lord, we don't ask that you would change all of our situations, because sometimes, God, those situations are there so that we might grow closer to you. But Lord, we ask that you would change us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Richard. The thing about stress is it causes us to do weird things. It causes us to try to manipulate, to control. It causes you to maybe avoid or to confront in unhealthy ways. See, stress is interesting because we all go through it, but the reality is some of us have learned how to deal with it better than others. If you've mastered this, please write a book or post a blog, and I will read it and I will share it, because I'm still a work in progress. But here's the reality for so many of us, because here's the truth. The source of your stress oftentimes determines where you seek your peace. I'll say it again. The source of your stress often determines where you seek your peace. I'll give you an example. If you have a place in your life or a pace of your life that's causing you stress, you're so busy. Have you been there? You're like, man, Lord, help me get through this school year. Just help me get through this season. Once I get through this season, then everything will be good. Help me raise these kids. God, help me get them out of my house in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray to God they're not staying with me until they're 30. I see your hand, sir. I'll pray for you afterwards. Maybe it's a place. When I leave this city, man, how many of you guys have that, like, I got to get out of this city? I had that. I'm from Bakersfield. I love Bakersfield now. But at age 18, I was like, I got to get out. This city's stressing me out, man. I can't fully be me until I get out of my city, right? And then you realize everywhere you go, you're still there. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's a person or, people that are stressing you out. Maybe it's your kids that are stressing you out. If you could just get them to behave, if you could just get them to do the right things, eat your dinner, go to sleep, brush your teeth, and you're like, I'm so stressed out all the time. These kids got me. Moms, we love you. We got prayer partners up front afterwards. You need prayer. I get it. I got a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. They like to fight sometimes. Maybe it's people in your life that at work, or maybe it's someone like your spouse that's always doing things, and you go, man, if he would just stop. Because, he always fill in the blank. Or she always fill in the blank. And then all that stress, you're like, if the source of my stress could just be fixed, then I'd have peace. But that's not how God works. Maybe it's a sickness or a problem in your life. You're like, if I could just get rid of the sickness, then my stress would go away. And I'm here to tell you this morning that maybe, just maybe, God doesn't want to take all the obstacles out of your way to give you peace. Maybe, just maybe, he wants to give you peace in spite of the obstacles. Maybe if I could just get a new job, if I could just get a new place to work, then I'd have peace. John 16:33 says, I have told you all this, Jesus says, so that you may have, what's that word? Peace. Peace in me. That's important. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Jesus saying, you're going to have obstacles. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have people that are going to rub you the wrong way. But don't focus on that, because I've come so that you might have peace. The thief in John 10:10, he talks about the enemy. He uses illustration about a thief. He says the thief's purpose is what? To steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is that is to give them a rich and satisfying life. In other words, he's saying, I want you to be on guard because there's a thief trying to steal from you today. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to steal your peace. He's trying to kill some stuff in your life. He's trying to kill some fruit that's trying to sprout up. You have some good things in your life. You ever notice when you start having progress in one area, all of a sudden you get kind of attacked in another? The minute you have a breakthrough over here, it's like you're plugging all these holes in your boat. It's like, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh gosh. It's almost like the enemy knows if he can get you distracted, then you can't make progress. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the enemy's a liar. And he's been defeated. And you don't have to listen to that guy anymore. The Bible says that the old man has passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're a new creation in Christ. But outside of Christ, you can't do anything. So what are we doing here? What are we trying to talk about today? We're talking about, title of my message today is this, the pursuit of peace. The pursuit of peace. Touch three people, say, the pursuit of peace. Go ahead. Paul was a missionary who planted churches up and down the Mediterranean, Asia Minor, all over the known world at the time. He was once a lawyer, a Pharisee of Pharisees from the tribe of Benjamin. He was Roman. He had Roman citizenship, but he was a Jew, so he had the best of both worlds. He could do pretty much operate in both worlds at a high level. He was a high capacity leader. And when he got saved, or when he met Jesus for himself, when he realized who Jesus was, his whole life changed. And he started planting churches, and he started encouraging people to follow Jesus, so much so that he would be eventually killed for his belief in Jesus. I'm going to give you some context to this. He's encouraging a young pastor that was named Timothy. And he says, hey, Timothy, I know you're going to have a bunch of stuff happening, because how many of you guys know when you're a leader, it all falls on you, all the good stuff and the bad stuff. So you can get some praise, and you get some accolades, and some special privileges, but you also get all the junk that comes along with it. And he's trying to say, hey Timothy, it's going to be hard. You're going to have some stress. So he tells him this, pay close attention. Everyone say attention. Attention. If you want to get people's attention, point to attention. That's free, okay? Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. In other words, get off Instagram and stop looking at everybody else's stuff and start looking at your budget and your calendar. Hello. Preach. Yes. This is for me too. Why? Why do we want to do this, Paul? Because you have some enemies that are trying to destroy you and get at you, and they're robbing you of your peace. And if you let them, all the things that are happening to you right now or happened to you when you were little, just because you got saved, doesn't mean those things aren't lying dormant somewhere in the back of your mind, ready to mess with you at any moment. And I'm here to tell you today, if you've received Christ, if you put your faith in Jesus, grace is 100% free. It's the best news ever. It's the best deal ever. Your life for his life for yours, you're free. You get to go to heaven not because you're good enough, but because Christ was good enough. That's some good news. The gospel literally translates to good news. However, if you don't deal with your past, you don't let God heal you, it's going to come back to haunt you, and it'll come back in weird ways. I'll give you an example. We all have wounds, right? We all have wounds. What's a wound? A wound is either a broken place that needs repentance, meaning you willfully did something wrong. You sinned. You messed up. We all do it. Everyone's been there, right? Anyone never sinned before? Raise your hand. Okay, cool. We'll just make sure. I'm like, oh my gosh, Jesus has returned. So you have some wounds that you from your past that you actually don't realize that come. They have shaped you. If you take the Enneagram, you'll figure out that there's 9 different characteristics that you all have that you operate with. You operate within a couple. I'm a three wing nine. So I'm an achiever and a peacemaker. So I want to get it done, and I want everyone to be happy. Because that comes from my wounds. It comes from things, not wounds necessarily, but kind of. Comes from my past. Then there's wounds that are tender places that need healing. These are things that people have done to you. You have some wounds that are tender places that need a healing. And you think back right now in your mind's eye, and you know exactly what I'm talking about because that person or that season pops up right now. And I don't mean to be a downer, but you have to deal with this stuff or else it will deal with you and it'll come out in some weird ways. So how do we do this? I want to teach you guys. This is kind of like TED Talk time. Trust me, I'm going to get to scripture, but I want to teach you this because I think it'll help you in so many areas and it'll release you and it'll help people around you. I want you to share this stuff. By the way, you can go on our website, myactivechurch.org, and it connects you to all of our messages that we've ever had. And you can go and download those and watch them or download our podcast, Active Church Podcast. It's really cool. All right, so what's this gram, concentric circle I want to show you? It's called the lead self. If the enemy can get you so wrapped up in all of your stuff, all your junk, then what happens is you lose self-clarity. And self-clarity is truly the identity that Christ has given you. He's given you a new nature, but the enemy wants you to still believe that you're that old person. You're that old person. I'm always going to be like this. This is always how I am. And if he can't get you to believe that, because mentally and emotionally and spiritually you've ascended to going, okay, God, I am a new creation. If he can't get you to believe that, what he'll do is he'll make you confused about who you are. Because that's what the enemy does. He lies and he causes confusion and he accuses. So here's what happens. You have self-clarity. You need self-clarity because you need to know how God wired you. And what happens is this. You have enemies of self-clarity. I'm going to give you three enemies of self-clarity. Number one is disconnection. You're disconnected from your emotions and from God. This is how you know that your self-clarity, that the enemy is messing with your peace, because you feel disconnected from people that are positive influences in your life. You feel disconnected from people and emotions, really, that are things that you need to feel. There's times where you're like, I don't even want to think about that today. I don't even want to go there. You disconnect and disassociate from certain aspects of your life. And here's what happens. You think you're helping yourself because that's what your brain does. It tries to avoid bad things and go to good things. But eventually what will happen is you will find out that those things you've been avoiding, they're not gone. They're just kind of in the background of your mind. And if you don't experience those emotions, you will find yourself one day going, I don't feel anything. You ever been there?
I just don't feel anything. I'm not sad. I'm not happy. I'm just kind of existing. Is that the John 10:10 life? Is that the life that Christ died for, to give you the life and life to the fullest? Zoe life, life overflowing? That's what he wants for you. But the enemy's saying, no. If I could just get you disconnected from the people that love you the most, if I could just get you to ignore those emotions, then I got you. I've robbed your peace. I've attacked you and you're wounded and you don't even know it. And God wants to free you today. So I'm going to jump right into these next things. I'm going to go real fast because we got a lot of ground to cover. Is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
Talk back to me. Come on, church. Yeah. All right. Here we go. You have seven primary emotions. I want to read to you real quick. Joy, anger, sadness, fear, surprise, disgust, and hope. So look at that real quick. Do me a favor. Look at those emotions. Jesus Christ, as a man, 100% man, 100% God, experienced all those emotions. And you should too. He experienced all those emotions. He's the Son of God. And yet he went through those emotions. And you need to as well. And on that list, you have some friends up there. I like joy. I like surprise. I like hope. I don't ever like to talk about my fears. Well, I avoid those at all costs. Because when I'm afraid, people look at me like I'm weak. Or when I am disgusted with someone, or if I'm angry at somebody, then they're going to leave me, so I can't show them anger, because if I if I confront them, then the relationship will sever. So I'll just push it down and I'll internalize it. Do you want to know what happens for people that don't deal with anger correctly? I'm one of these. You are too. You either erupt like a volcano and you just let everyone know and everybody knows you're mad. You know those people? Some of you guys are like, right here. Or you're like a sinkhole and you just push it in. You push it in and you put, and eventually what happens is the bottom sinks out and you're going, what's happened to me? You have to deal with anger. I usually push it out. So which one is your friend and which one is your enemy? Which one do you avoid? What kind of stresses have you avoided this week? What kind of emotions have you said, I'm not going to go there this week? Because those things are actually robbing you of peace. Because if you don't pray and ask God to help you deal with it, here's what's going to happen. Eventually, it's going to come out in an addiction, a weird behavior. It's going to come out and it's going to break up some relationships that you have. Maybe it's caused some breakups in your life. Maybe there was a marriage that didn't last because you didn't know how to deal with some anger issues and you ended up ruining something. And I'm not here to condemn anybody, but don't let this marriage be better than the last one. Let God heal something and let him restore something in your life. So how does this come about? Number two, isolation. Isolation. You get isolated. We have iPhones. I think I stands for isolation. We have Instagram. And we're so connected and I like all your stories. I see them all. And sometimes, honestly, I feel like it makes me depressed. Because I feel like, well, why, how come I'm not there? I wish I got invited to that. And if we're not careful, we'll isolate from healthy people. And guess what? The enemy wants, what he wants to do when you're isolated, here's what he does. He gets you alone so he can attack you. What does the sheep do? The sheep that strays is the one the wolf goes after. So he'll get you isolated. Number three, he'll get you distracted. He wants to rob you of peace by giving you distraction after distraction. And you will never deal with the things that are causing you to be fuzzy around your self-clarity. You'll forget to do the hard work of heart work. And guess what will happen? You'll be distracted your whole life. Some of you are distracted right now on Instagram. No judgment. Be present. Put your phone down. If you're taking notes, don't. What if you were to allow God's presence to just be so real in your life that you could just go into each moment being present with the people that are around you, or even just being alone with your thoughts? I heard it said, learning to write is learning to think. Some of you need to put pen to paper this week and write your thoughts out. And as you do that, God's going to breathe on that. You don't have to do a quiet time because God wants you to get quiet. Here's what he wants. He wants to give you a clearer picture of who he is so that you will see who you are in him. So the second, I gotta go fast. Here we go. The next circle is self-awareness. Some of us are not self-aware at all. You ever have the close talker? Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on? You're like, whoa, bro. Or the close person in line behind you, they like come right up on you. You're like, okay, this is kind of awkward. Not self-aware. So here's what happens. Here's how we see ourselves is over here. We have our, let's go to the next slide. Here's how we see ourselves. We're like, okay, this is how I come off. Over here is how other people experience us. And in the middle of these two things is a gap. And we call it the self-awareness gap. And where the gap is, conflict will arise. Why do people always say that about me? You know, I'm not like that, am I? And your best friend's like, no, you're not at all. You know, every church I go to, man, they won't let me lead. I'm a leader. You know, don't they understand that I'm a leader? Don't they realize that I'm the best leader that ever was? Like, why can't they see it? My first church didn't see it. My second church didn't see it. You know, my fifth church, they were really messed up. What's the common denominator in all those things? It's in the gap in your relationships that you constantly find there's peace that's leaking out. There's the enemy is in the gap. So what do? You close the gap by understanding that who you are, and if you don't know how you can work on this, here's what you do. You pray, and then get ready. You ask three people that you trust, hey, when my phone comes up, when my name comes up on your phone, what are the things that you think about me? I dare you to do that. And then get ready to do some hard work of the heart work. So you have some enemies of self-awareness. Pride, too absorbed. Hey, bro, you know, I notice kind of when you do that, you kind of have this, what are you talking about, man? Defensive. What do you mean? Well, you know, I just noticed you can't take feedback because you're too prideful to see it. I don't mean to step on any toes, but listen, humility is the antidote for pride. How does pride come about? Well, a couple of ways. There's a few symptoms. You find fault in everything. This is mine. I can pick apart anything. I can complain with the best of them. You want to go toe-to-toe with me and complaining? I got you beat, bro. I can complain about, I could be on vacation. I could be in a beautiful resort and I could find 10 things to complain about right off the bat. You're like, wow, what a great pastor. But you got stuff too. Love you. Maybe you have a harsh spirit. You're just rough. You're just tough with people. Pride comes about when you deal with people, you're just not tactful. You just come about, you're not thinking about them. You're thinking about you. I got to get something done. Maybe it's your employee at work or a coworker. Hey, blah, 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 blah. You come off harsh. Maybe it's superficiality. You're just fake. We don't want to let people in, so we kind of give them the veneer, the mask. Can I tell you, it's exhausting being someone else. Be yourself. God made you. He loves you. Even if nobody else does, you'd be like, I don't care if you don't love me. God loves me. You be you. You do you, boo-boo. I don't say that, by the way. I don't know why I said that. Maybe you're defensive. Maybe you're defensive. Maybe you automatically, as soon as someone tries to help fill in the gap, you get defensive. You put your arm, you kind of block them out. Maybe it's desperation for attention. That comes from shame. Maybe it's neglecting others. You just neglect the people in your life. You don't call mom or dad. You don't reach out. As a matter of fact, you wonder why you don't have friends sometimes. I heard if you want to have a friend, you got to be a friend. They just walked right by me. They didn't even say hi. Maybe your job is to go honor them and say hi to them first. Well, you know, my boss should come in. He should ask me how I'm doing. Maybe you should go up to your boss and say, hey, good morning. How was your weekend? And then he says, how was yours? You're like, oh, it was awesome. I was at church and there was this cool guy and he had talked about it. Just joking. What's another enemy of self-awareness? Position. You're too powerful to hear it. And finally, passivity. You're too lazy to care and to pursue it. You know what you got to do. It's like Jim Collins' Good to Great, one of the best leadership books ever written, in my opinion. And he says that we got these rocks in our lives or in organizations, and you can apply this to your marriage, your family. We have these rocks, and you pick up these rocks. Remember you were little, you picked up a rock, and what do you see underneath the rock? Bugs, like little squiggly things, he calls them. And he says what we do with our life is that we pick up these rocks, and we go, ew, that's gross, and we put it back. God will show you something. He'll illuminate something in your life that needs to change, and you'll pick it up, and you're like, not today, God. You should be saying, not today, Satan. I'm going to fight. I'm going to figure out what that is so I can get it out of my life because it's robbing me of peace. So let's jump in. How do we, I got one more thing. You guys, are you with me? I feel good. Okay. And ultimately, here's what happens. When you don't have self-clarity and you don't have self-awareness, you never go beyond yourself. And the ultimate thing for life is to make a difference. Our vision for you at Active Church is that you would know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. We help people know God every Sunday through Active Church weekend experiences. We help people find freedom in community through life groups. Get in a life group. If we help people discover their purpose through Growth Track, you have purpose. It isn't just mean like, it's not like going to school and going to work, and that's not your purpose to make a lot of money. That's great. Go make a bunch of money, but that's not why you're born. You were born for a much greater purpose, and you know it. Amen. And talk to some folks that have made a lot of money and ask them, did it make you happy? If they didn't have Christ, I talked to lots of millionaires that didn't have Christ, and they were miserable. They had boats. They had planes even. But they needed something more. There's some enemies from self-donation. Number one is serving for admiration. You help others, but you hope that you get all the recognition. You'll serve and you'll do something, but you hope that they post it on Facebook or Instagram. You'll serve at church, but if they don't say thank you, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You know what this comes from? It's rooted in your shame from your childhood. Can I just tell you, Christ, when you're in Christ, you're enough. You don't need the affirmation of people, because when you're doing it for God, your treasure is in heaven, not on earth, where rust and moth can destroy. You are serving the Most High God when you serve others. So begin to serve. We actually have, this is not even a plug. I was not planning on saying this. I believe that some of you today are going to sign up for the serve team. I believe some of you here today have been waiting on sideline. You're like, I don't think they want me to serve. Or I got a bunch of stuff in my life that isn't right. I got to get all that stuff cleaned up before. Can I tell you something? You don't clean yourself up and then go to God. Christ already came down to you in your muck and mess and mire so that you would know that you're never qualified to do anything for God. But God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And you've been called to serve in the house of God. You do it for God. Secondly, the next enemy is serving from obligation. That's just like guilt. I guess I got to do it. Someone's got to do it. I guess it'll be me. And then serving by control. That's just rooted in fear. So I'm going to help you for a few minutes as we close. Give you some practical things. What do we do? How do we do this? How do we fight to change this perspective? You need to get above it. Everyone say above. Above. Here's a verse for you. You need to seek higher ground. Isaiah 40, 30, and 31. But those who hope in the Lord, everyone say hope. Hope. Hope in the Lord. They will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I wrote this verse down on my wall, but I put it on my wall. On a piece of paper when I first got saved. Because I knew that I needed to get above my thinking. I had to change my elevation of perspective. Here's what eagles do. When there's a storm happening here, they have something built into them that eagles will literally, you could Google this, they'll change their position and they'll gain altitude. And what they do is they set their wings. They fix their wings in such a way that helps them soar above the atmosphere of the storm so that they can get above the storm. But they first have to position themselves in the right elevation so that the storm doesn't impact them and hurt them. You need to get a hold of God if you're going to have peace. You can't find peace in just self-help books. You can't find peace in having the right friends or the right status or the right Instagram account or the right followers. You can't find peace apart from God. You need to set your position and get above all that junk and focus and put your hope in Christ. Amen? So how do we do this? Words are hard. Okay. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be anxious about anything. Have you been anxious lately? Me too. I'm working on it though. But in every situation, by how? Prayer and petition. How are you going to get peace this week? You need to spend time with God in prayer. I'm not talking like, okay, God, here I am. I'm talking like, God, I need you. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. What does that mean? Thank God first and then tell him what you need. Say, God, I thank you that you saved me. I thank you I didn't deserve it, but God, you came down anyways. God, thank you for my church. Thank you for my family. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you for my health. Thank you for all the things you've given me. Because when you have a posture of gratitude, it changes your attitude. That's what God wants for you. He doesn't just want you to live a life that's surviving. He wants you to thrive and live in him. Because when you're in the house of God and you're in Christ, there's It's a lot to be thankful for. And the peace, watch this, when you do this, I'm running out of time, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're just going to close with keys today. Normally we have a song, but we want to make sure we honor active kids. In closing, I want to talk to you real quick. If you're not having peace, here's what you need to do. I'll give you three quick things. Number one, write this down. It's real profound. Number one, pray more than you currently are. Pray more than you currently are. That sounds pretty crazy, right? Like, what? Hold on, let me write that down again. You know, the best advice is usually the most simple. Just pray more. When you're waking up, talk to God. Say, good morning, God. It's almost like you're picking God up. Remember I talked about FaceTiming God? Just FaceTime him. Put him on speakerphone. Say, God, I'm going to get up right now and go in the shower. Help me think about things that are going to frame my day appropriately. God, I know there's going to be things that are going to attack me today. I'm going to have thoughts of weird stuff's going to come in my head because I know you have weird thoughts because I have weird thoughts. Lord, help me to be mindful of my emotions. Lord, is there anything I'm afraid of today? God, is there anything I'm avoiding? Are there people in my life that I've had imaginary conversations with about things that I haven't said to them? Is there anything in my heart, Lord, that is causing me shame or guilt? Have I wronged you? Talk to God. Even if you don't plan on doing anything about it, just start talking to him. Because here's why. It's a lot easier to act your way into a feeling than to feel your way into an action. Want me to say it again? Yeah. It's a lot easier to act your way into a feeling than it is to feel your way into an action. You'll be waiting for all the feels and they'll never come. I dare you to start praying more. Number two, write this down. Tell God more of your needs than your wants. You need peace? Just tell God what you need. Tell him you need peace. You can't get peace from a 35-minute message on Sunday. You need people in your life that are going to call you, text you. I got a couple guys that I'm just like, a few guys I'm texting. I got a small group that I meet Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. early at a coffee shop. Why? Because I want to be close to God, and I know that I can't do that without other dudes in my life that are going to encourage me. Gals, you need other women that are going to speak life over you. You need to join, get part of a team, even if it's just, gosh, greeting someone. We have a greeter team out front. All they do is greet, and they smile, and they love it, and they're awesome at it. You don't have to be a theologian to serve on a team. All you got to do is take a next step. But you have to acknowledge that you have a need. And finally, you need to thank him from a posture, not for his provision. He's going to provide, but posture yourself in a place where you can say, God, I thank you for who you are, not for what you can do for me. I thank you for what you've done for me already, not the blessings that will come if I choose to follow you and surrender, but he will bless you. What if the pursuit of peace this week led you right back to the Prince of Peace? Because I know my God causes all things to work together for good. Even the stuff that's causing you some stress. Maybe, just maybe, he allowed that thing in your life so that, not so that your whole life would be consumed by stress, but maybe, just maybe, he allowed that thing in your life, the thing that's causing you the most stress, the thing that's wounded you, the thing that you've wounded others, maybe, just maybe, he's going to use that and cause it to work together for good. Maybe, just maybe, today, if you were to take a posture and say, God, I believe that you're causing all things to work together for good, and I seek you because you're the only God, you're the only one that can change my life. You're the only one that can give me peace. because my pursuit of peace will always lead me back to you, the Prince of Peace.